7:03. If you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all.
I'd just like to take a moment for Sam Tony, who recently passed, was on the finance committee there for a lot of years. Let's take a moment of silence for Sam. The funeral was today. All right, thank you very much. I'm going to take a point of personal privilege right here. I am pleased to announce the selection of the 15th class for the Derby Hall of Fame. This year's class of three chosen by the Hall of Fame committee brings the number of Hall of Fame members to 63. The announcement comes each year in time for Derby to celebrate its official birthday on May 13th. This year's class includes three men who distinguished themselves in diplomacy, transportation, and biotech industry, as well as philanthropy. James Kennedy was a pioneer in transportation industry in Derby and beyond. He was responsible for the construction of electric trolley line, including the very first one in New England built to connect Ansonia and Derby. William Whitney came from a distinguished Whitney family who went from owning a jewelry store on Main Street in Derby to become the deputy U.S. consul to Bermuda and the founder of the Whitney Institute in Bermuda. Dr. Robert Finney was valedictorian of Derby High School class in 1943, a naval veteran during World War II, and graduated with the distinguished Yale class of 1945. He helped to build Pfizer into one of the world's leading pharmaceutical companies, and he was an early pioneer in developing biotechnology and medical devices. He was also a noted philanthropist, including his generous support of Boy Scouts Troop 3 in Derby. The Derby Hall of Fame was established in 2007 to include Derby natives and residents who have shaped and helped the course of history throughout their achievement in local, state, national, and international levels. Each of these individuals selected were either born in Derby or lived here at some point in his or her life. The Derby Hall of Fame is located by the National Humane Alliance Fountain at the Division Street entrance of Derby Greenway. Each of the members is commemorative with a special brick surrounded the fountain, engraved by some of the details of their achievements. So it's a great accomplishment. So we have so many great people coming out of Derby, and just wanted to recognize that. I'm going to move on to a roll call. Ms. DeGennaro. I think I heard her.
Did you call me?
Barbara, are you there? Yep.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Ms. DeGatto?
Here.
Ms. Wodomski?
Here.
Mr. Coppola?
Here.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Here. Could you hear me? Here.
Mr. Sill?
Here.
Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Mr. Sampson?
Present.
Mr. Sharkey?
Here.
Okay, hearing, we got a roll call, or we have everyone here. We have a quorum. To number four, additions, deletions, correction, and adoption of the agenda. Do I hear anything?
Mr. Mayor, it's Sarah. Yes. I'd like to add in new business 9.8 meeting time limit, discussion and possible action on limiting the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen meetings to 2.5 hours.
Okay. Second?
Second, Barbara.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, no period. Any other for that? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to number five, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak?
I'd like to say something.
All right, hang on, please. I didn't even stop. So anybody from the public would like to speak on the agenda, please state your name and address for the record.
Janet Mann. And you're not going to, Janet Mann from Summit. You're not going to like me because I'm standing up for all the seniors in Derby, because I'd like to know why there's nothing on the agenda for the senior center moving in with Ansonia. And if that's the case, why isn't the alderman actually giving us a list of what has been happening, what's been going on, what's taking them too long? And in a not nice way, they need to shit or get off the pot.
Okay. Thank you, Janet. Please, if you're going to speak, watch your language on there.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you. Anybody else from the public would like to speak?
I would. Brendan Canty, 160 Shagbark Drive.
Yes, sir.
I'm also the assistant chief at the Storm Ambulance. I've spoken to Alderman DiGiovanni earlier. Unfortunately, I can't stay for the whole meeting because I'm at work. But just to update everyone, because of the cost of material and inflation, the price for the new ambulance is now $285,000, just so we could update that. And I forwarded Alderman DiGiovanni the email we received from the dealer.
About $30,000.
Hey, thank you.
Brendan, can you repeat that number?
$285,000. And that's due to the inflation as well as the cost of materials right now, and the supply and demand of everything.
Okay. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Third and last call.
No, wait a minute. Mayor, am I going to get an answer? Are they going to give us something about what's going on with the center to the seniors and an update?
Public portion is just to speak. We don't answer questions on public portion.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else from the public, last, third and last? All right, hearing none, public portion is closed. Number six, blank. Number seven, administration and appointments. 7.1, approval of minutes. 7.1.1, May 4th, 2022. Motion to accept.
So move on.
Second.
Second, Charlie.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried.
I was not there, so I abstain. Anita Dugato.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
7.1.2, April 7th, 2022. You have a motion?
So moved, Sarah.
Second?
Second, Charlie.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstention, Barbara. Sorry.
And okay.
So you get that? Abstention, Barbara?
Yep, I got it.
Okay.
7.1.3, March 10th, 2022. You have a motion to accept?
So moved, Ron.
Second?
Second, Sarah.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? So carried. 7.1.4, February 17th, 2022. Have a motion?
Don't move, Charlie.
Second?
Second, Ron.
Discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
So abstain. Barbara. Sarah.
Barbara.
And not there.
And Barbara, Kevin.
Barbara, Sarah, and Kevin. Okay. 7.1.5, February 10th, 2022. Have a motion to accept.
So moved, Charlie.
Second.
Second, Ron.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? So carried. 7.1.6, January 13th, 2022. Do I have a motion to accept?
So moved, Charlie.
Second.
Second, Sarah.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? All right, so carried. 7.2, refund of taxes, monthly tax refunds. Move to approve tax refunds in the amount of $3,160.75 dated May 11th, 2022. Can I have a motion?
So moved. So
moved, Barbara.
Second.
Second, Anita.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. 7.3, appointment to boards and commission. 7.3.1, capital planning commission. Myself, the mayor, president of the board of aldermen, Ms. Wodonski, chair of the board of aldermen, enforcement and taxation, Jeff Colas, Jim Gilday, chair of board of education, above are appointed by virtue of their office. Second, section is Alderman D. Giovanni, Alderman Charlie Sampson, Board of Portment and Taxation, Belnini Patel. Can I have a motion?
So moved, Rob.
Rob, second.
Second, Rob.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Somebody's like, all right, opposed? Abstain?
I'm going to abstain, Barbara.
Barbara? Okay. All right, so carried. Section 7.4, Section 13 of the Charter of the City of Derby, request for waiver. 7.4.1, request for Dan Blitzman to waive Section 13 of the Charter of the City of Derby to be a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission member and provide HVAC service to the City of Derby with his company, Blizzard Mechanics. Can I have a motion?
So moved, Hello. Charlie.
Second.
Any discussion?
This is Sarah. I'm not gonna lie, I have concern. It seems like a potential direct conflict to me that planning and zoning and, you know, any sort of contracting HVAC services or whatnot. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Anybody else have discussion? All right. All in favor?
I agree.
Okay, it has to be unanimous. So,
why?
It's up to you guys.
Why would it be a conflict of interest, Sarah? It's Gino.
You know, I think, you know, the potential, and you know, I like Dan, but the potential for influence. The optics to me don't look good. It's not like. Yeah, and again, you know, I'm happy, you know, if he's on planning and zoning or if he wants to do work for the city. But you know, I think it would be different for me if, you know, he had his business and was like, you know, getting a stipend as a coach for a team. I don't see a potential direct conflict. I see a potential direct conflict with this. That's just... So- my opinion.
Oh, okay. So, just so I understand you right. So if you want to be a volunteer on a board or be an elected official as a contractor in the city, you can't do both then. Is that the right way?
I'm just seeing it like specifically with planning and zoning and probably I would, you know, think the same, you know, if it was the board of aldermen, alderwomen, and
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
but not potentially every board, you know, like, you know, again, if it was, you know, if he was on the cultural commission or something, you know, that I don't necessarily see a potential direct conflict.
I just don't understand, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't understand how one vote on the on any board would influence a ruling. I mean, that, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but in reality, it just doesn't work that way. You know, there
he may also have to appear in front of zoning or planning. If he has plans, if he's doing work that, you know, have to be reviewed. You know, that's in the building department. Could go to BNZ. Could go to BNZ. Could go.
Right.
That's a possibility.
But my thing on the planning and zoning board, an application comes in front of the planning and zoning board. Does the application fit in the box in the zone? Yes or no? He's one vote. You know, so for him to influence his vote, to put in a furnace or put in an air condition, that's going to influence his vote because he does that for the city. So if he does any type of repair work for the city itself, that's going to influence his vote to have an applicant come to the city to ask the planning and zoning board if they could, you know, build something in town or upfit a building or put a store or something. That's going to influence his vote because he changed a couple air filters for the city.
It's an influence his vote. It's influence his ability that he may expect. He's acting on behalf of the city, but he's also receiving work from the city. That's where the potential of the conflict is. That's part of what the waiver is about.
It's too bad because he stepped up and asked for a waiver. There's probably 10 people that need it. He stepped up and asked. He volunteered. He's very good on that board. And
that's my point. So if he changes the air filter or an air conditioner for the city of Derby, that now he can't sit on the planning and zoning board. It just doesn't, you know what I mean? There's, I understand what you guys are trying to, I understand where you're coming from, what you're feeling on the situation, but it just, that just doesn't make any sense to me. You're one vote on a board, but planning and zoning doesn't have to do with anything of you doing a job for the city.
That's your opinion, Gene. And I'm not talking for anyone else.
I'm talking for myself, and I just want to understand the reasoning. That's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to speak for anybody else but myself.
Well, that's the charter.
He's on PNZ. He's currently on PNZ. So, and now there's a request for him to do work for the city simultaneously. So we're not saying he can't sit on PNZ or he can't do work for the city. With the waiver, it's you get the waiver. If you get the waiver, you can do both. If you don't, you get a choice. You want to stay on PNZ or you want to work for the city.
Everybody.
That's my point. He's either got to do one or the other. So you're either going to take food off his plate or we're going to lose somebody that's good at what they do for the city as a volunteer.
Okay, I think the discussion.
That's the point.
I think the discussion's over on this. We're feeling the waves here. So, anybody else has anything else to say? Like, take a vote. All right. All in favor to request a waiver for Dan Blitzman, say aye.
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 Opposed.
Aye.
Okay. So. We're going to do a roll call. Ms. DeGennaro?
No.
No? Or yes or no? I'm sorry.
No.
You're saying no. Okay.
No.
Ms. Degato?
Yes.
Ms. Wodonski?
No.
Mr. Capolo?
Yes.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Yes.
Mr. Sill?
Yes.
Mr. Hyder? Mr. Sampson?
Yes.
Mr. Sharkey?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we have two no's. We only needed one, so unfortunately, this person can't get a waiver to do any HVAC. The prices were good, but that's okay. Number eight, committee reports. Finance committee. 8.1.1, update on pending matters before the committee.
Okay, so as far as the audit is concerned, I've heard that everything that was outstanding is now complete. I reached out to Mr. Acavallo for confirmation that it was submitted to the state. And I'll let everyone know when I hear back. Other pending matters are, you know, the MFAC, you know, the last MFAC meetings, you know, members posed a number of concerns, including obviously the finance department staffing issues, who's actively watching the finances of the city. There were concerns on the budget that was presented. You know, it was mentioned that there's money in the budget for a new financial software system, and that unless the financial infrastructure is there, there's no way the city, you know, can put a new system in. They offered, MFAC offered to connect the city with some of their connections with professional financial firms. I'm not sure if the city has taken that up, offer up. And they noted that, you know, given the lack of progress that they've seen, there will be consideration of whether Derby stays with MFAC or whether MFAC will be recommending Derby move to the Municipal Accountability Review Board. So that's, you know, certainly a lot to digest and certainly a lot to, you know, think about, you know, as far as this is moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have discussion on that? Hearing none, go by 8.2, community relations. Mr. DiGiovanni, that's yours?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So 8.2.1, Storm Ambulance Corp. For the new ambulance. I received an email a couple minutes before the meeting. The gentleman that spoke before, the price did increase. So I have that email. I will forward it over to Mark so he could send it to everybody to add it to the packet. But the price came out to be $285 even with the cost, the increased cost.
All right. Go on with the next one.
Well, Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson,
if I can. Make a motion?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just discussion. I mean, you want to make a motion to what?
Well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread it. Move to update it. All right. There's a motion to update it to 285. We don't have the exact number on it.
I have the exact number. According to the email that they sent with the updated price from the vendor.
I just have a couple questions. I mean, so yeah. We went out to bid and a bid came back and it was $254,000, which is what we saw. And we told the ambulance corps to go out and authorize the bid. We told our town to go out. I have a piece of paper in front of me here. Eastford Fire and Rescue Sales Inc. sent to the city. So I'm wondering why the contract wasn't solidified at the time.
So Charlie, this was before I got on the board. So I was informed that when the Board of Aldermen, I'm not sure the specific date, maybe in October, maybe before that of last year of 2021, you guys approved the price of $254 even. They didn't have the dollars and cents. So I'm not positive, but according, I guess, to the motion that they needed the proper dollars and cents. So I brought it to the subcommittee to get the proper amount and the documents together so that we could just move it over to here so that everybody could see that now that there's the increase, so that it didn't slow down the process after that. I don't know what the motion was. I don't know what the board decided back then. That was before me. I was just trying to save a little bit of time of sending it back down to subcommittee if it had to go, just to get the proper dollar amount. So that's why I brought it here.
That's price valid for 30 days.
Right. And that came in October 20th, which was the $254,000 that we made a motion and unanimously it passed. And we did that November 18th. So it's within the 30 days. So I'm kind of wondering why the price went up if these people sent us a bid for $254,000. I'm good with $343 more. Yeah. Right? We awarded that.
We awarded the bid. So what, maybe Corporation Council could look into this. If we awarded the bid for that dollar number, that's what we had in front of us.
Oh, so the bid was approved, but it didn't get ordered, or is I'm kind of confused.
It's in the packet. It's in the packaging. There's the actual market put in what we did.
No. Yeah. No.
Awarded the bid.
Yep. No. I read that. I just don't know. Once you award the bid, what's the next process or the next step?
Yeah, I can look into that tomorrow to see what steps were taken following that meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. I mean, that's.
But if the action was taken by this board, then there should be no further action needed.
If I may, Honor Mayor and members of the board, the only thing that was contemplated for tonight was that because no documentation was given on November 18th, the motion was $254,000, and it should have been, as you could see in the documentation, $254,343. So it was represented when they had the committee meeting that they needed to adjust that because there was some holdup or whatever. And just a reminder, this was the only bid that was received. So those to go back to the beginning of that.
So once again, we passed the 254 and I could understand the 343, but upon passing the 254,000, then we should have entered into that contract. So we need to know when the contract was out. We got this paperwork October 20th, according to the timestamp, and we voted on it November 18th.
We awarded the bid and to who and everything with the price. Mm-hmm. So we did our jobs.
And now this company's coming back saying they need $285,000. So if you don't mind, Vin.
I'll look into it tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yep.
Push that off to the next meeting.
Well, it probably would make sense, just for the clarity of the record, to update that the motion that you have to the $254,343, so that if there's any confusion, it was meant to work that amount, that bid, if that was a hint.
That's a good idea, just for the city's end of it. And I'll make that motion to change it to $254,343 for our
booking. I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Go ahead, Gina.
Okay, so 8.2.2, Senior Center Loading Zone parking space. So in the packet, there was a letter. Let me just pull it up. A letter from Christine about a parking spot out in front of Elizabeth Street for 15 minutes for parking and or a loading space.
I have a second.
Well, my question is this not an LTA issue, our local traffic authority?
So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah. So normally this will go to the police department, who will bring it to the local traffic authority, who I believe is just the police commissioners, and they would meet and make any approvals for any spots that are reserved in this manner. So I'm just kind of wondering.
So Christine went to the. So Christine went to the PD, and then the PD told her to go to police commission. Then the police commission told her to come and contact the city. Nobody gave her, kind of kept passing it down. And it was on the at our subcommittee, and I wanted to move it to the full board. Nobody made a decision, on who needed to approve it. So,
yeah, they tossed it back to us. They wanted to come back to us, and you make a motion. We'll second.
Correct. So, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the loading zone parking space on Elizabeth Street, adjacent to the senior center entrance alley. For the Derby Senior Center.
Right. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Any more discussion?
Are we just sure? Are we sure that the LTA said no? That they don't have control of that spot? They control the handicap spot.
Yeah. No, I could witness that they send it back to the city, usually. I've asked them about parking. They said parking's the city. But Carmen, are
that's
you
the answer that space? I got as well.
Doing it for a city entity.
When I was in, it was curb to curb, now it's, because the parking division is part of the city, it's parking. That's what they told me. Carmen, you're going to lose a spot. Is that going to bother you?
Not at all.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Can I just say one more thing before we vote? Is it going to be, what's it going to say? Loading zone? Is it going to have a time limit so that
15
minutes. Nope. Go ahead, Carm.
15-minute parking, loading zone.
But they were going to have the 15? Time of day, like 8 to 5, so that nobody, if somebody wants to park there at night when they want to go,
you can because the center's closed at that time.
So it's not going to be designated for senior centering place.
You can't do that.
Okay.
All right. What we're trying to do is to give the people with walkers and wheelchairs a spot that they can unload their family and then push them into the senior center and then move the car up to the garage.
Great. Yep. Very good.
So should it be a no parking so that nobody will park there, and if they have a car running, they're going to unload? I mean, if you say 15 minutes, I don't know. People are going to pay attention to that.
Well, if not, they're going to get
if they're there for 16 minutes, they're going to get a ticket.
Right.
So
miraculously from heaven.
From heaven? No, from our new ticket machine.
All right. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, 8.2.3 vendor license. So inside the packet, there's the applications. And Mark, did we get the background check back from the PD in the last day or two?
No, we did not. We did not. But if you decide, we never issue the permit until that is approved. So that's to your pleasure.
So we could vote on it pending.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I'll make a motion that we approve the vendor application for Eric Warga of We Rock Industries Worldwide LLC to operate a food truck under the Route 8 Bridge at the Derby train station on Main Street, pending all appropriate paperwork.
I'll second that.
All right. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carried.
Okay. 8.2.4 vendor's license. The application, the information is in there, and obviously this is the same thing. We'll wait on the PD with the background check.
Have a motion.
Make a motion. We approve the vendor application of Mario Zalato of Pisco Tequila to operate a food truck under the Route 8 Bridge at the Derby train station on Main Street, pending all appropriate documentation.
We have a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So Karen, next.
Mr. Mayor, okay, Mr. Chair, just for the record, all of the other paperwork is in order and submitted. The only thing we're waiting on is the background check on both of those.
Right.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Okay, so 8.2.5, Derby Neck Library request to use the sidewalk. Discussion possible action on the request of Derby Neck Library to use the sidewalk in front of their property from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. For their summer reading program, outdoor sidewalk chalk event.
Is that our okay?
Charlie Sampson, so moved.
Second.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? So carried. Thank you. 8.3, operation procedures update on pending matter before the committee.
Yeah, right now we have we're still working on the fees for Bradley School, and we are inviting Dennis to come to our next subcommittee meeting to answer questions.
Excellent. All right.
And no business. Yep.
Thank you. Number 9, new business 9.1, human resource director proposed job description. Move to refer the human resource proposed job description to the ops and procedure committee. Can I have a motion?
Oh, I'll make that Charlie Sampson because that's not my committee.
Second.
Sorry, Anita.
Second. Okay. Second, Ron. All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, so carried. 9.2, IT managed service provider proposal process. Move to refer the IT managed service provider proposal process to the ops and procedure committee. Could I have a motion, Charlie?
Sure, I'll make that motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. can I have a second?
Second, Sarah.
Sarah, discussion? All right, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So I'm going to be busy.
All right, so Carrie. Important subcommittee there. All right, 9.3, ARPA oversight administration proposal. Presentation from NVCOG to serve as an oversight compliance agent for the City of Derby regarding the use of ARPA funds and the development of application submissions, vetting, and consideration process. We have Mike on there. Are you going to be a spokesperson there, Mike?
Only if needed for the financial portion of it.
And there's John DiCarlo. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. I'll open the discussion with the board, and thank you for having us. As you saw, Michael Springle, NVCOG's finance director, and Rick Dunn, NVCOG's executive director, are also on the call. I am John DiCarlo. I'm municipal shared services director for NVCOG. When the American Rescue Plan Act was unveiled last year, our mayors and first selectmen asked us to put together proposals for advisement and oversight of municipal funds. While none of the larger cities took us up on the initial proposals, several smaller ones did request a detailed breakdown of services and fees, and the City of Derby was one of those. We proposed two options, a fee structure based on hours provided with a 3% cap on the city's total award for a advice and compliance option and a 7% cap on full compliance. Just to note, this is really not to exceed 7% on the full compliance. It is, will we build on hours spent on the project at the city opts to do that. It's important to note what we would be and what we would not be responsible if the city opts to engage NVCOG in full compliance. We are not the fiduciary. We would have a voucher system for expending the funds that we prepare reports for, and the city would sign and submit. The ARPA funds come to the city, not our agency. We would make sure that Derby is following its guidelines for the program to ensure projects are eligible, ensure procurement is done within the program parameters and all applicable laws and requirements, and ensure that reporting is in compliance with the program parameters. It's also important to note we need documentation for funds the city has already spent from its initial tranche of the allocation. I'm assuming the city documented the expenses were eligible and the procurement was done in compliance with guidelines. If it hasn't reported its actions to date through the US Treasury portal, that would have to be done effectively in arrears. We provided the city the details of the scope we would do and the fee schedule. be happy to answer any questions. And I imagine Rick Dunn might want to pipe in with something now, but we'd be happy to take questions as well.
John, it's Barbara. Did you submit some proposal with the fees already to the city?
We have provided that a couple of times, multiple times with Walt, yes, and with Drew before him.
Oh, okay, because I don't think we've ever seen that, and we don't see that tonight, so this might
I can certainly share my screen. Yeah. I can certainly share my screen if the board would like that to show you the overview of what it is. Take a minute to look at that.
It may have to go to subcommittee anyway, but if you know, it's up to the board if they want to see it now.
I think let it be moved to subcommittee and we can go through it there first.
Question, John, this is Anita. Were you consulted about when we were going to use the ARPA funds for the ambulance?
No.
Okay.
I think this is just basically for that's going to be going through the committee, through the department heads to be vetted through NVCOG so we can bring it to our committee to say if it's approved or not approved. And then we will, if it's worthy of the ARPA funds, and then it will go to the committee for approval.
Well, I'm going to move to refer this to the finance subcommittee. And Mr. DiCarlo, you can get us send us those, the written proposals.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you. The proposal's in the city's hands. We're happy to provide the board with whatever they need, but the documents are in the city's hands. In terms of the process, I want to be really, really clear about this. We don't make the decisions about what you spend your money on. We just make sure it's eligible. We don't conduct the procurement process. We'll align it, we'll put it together, we'll go through that process for you, but it's your process. You have to award the bids. We can't do that work for you. So it'll be a normal city process in that regard. The accounting work would be done by your accounting department because you are managing the grant. We're not the fiduciary, as John mentioned, not the recipient of the grant. So those are the key pieces of this. We're agnostic on whether you want to do this or not. It's really up to you. We've been asked to propose a service, and we will deliver that to whatever towns want to go through with it. Most towns, as it turns out, who have larger amounts of money have opted to hire their own person for the 4-year term, the 5-year term of the grant to manage these activities. So I'm not certain. I kind of expected someone might ask, who are we managing these for? The answer is no one. We don't anticipate more than Derby and possibly two others who don't have the capacity in their own finance offices to manage these processes. But you would need a committee to choose the projects or to determine by what method projects are chosen in your town in compliance with the law. That's not something we would be doing for you. We could facilitate it. We could run meetings. We could invite the public in, but the rest of it's up to you.
Okay. So we have first and second to send it to subcommittee. And so all in favor?
Actually,
Second? No, I don't know. Did Sarah make Sarah made the motion. I was going to second it to finance subcommittee.
Okay, we have first and second, any more discussion? Okay, we can vet it out there. Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Vote. So carried. All right, NVCOG, thank you guys for showing up.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.
Okay, back from our subcommittee. Really appreciate it. 9.4, proposed ordinance code. Landlord and tenants, move to refer the proposed code, landlord and tenant ordinance to the Community Relation and Blight Committee. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, my only concern is usually ordinances go to ops and procedures.
I mean, it's...
It's me.
Yeah, okay. There was, because this had a more of a community, an effect on the community at large, there was a sense to send it to the community relations committee to get a sense from that committee on this ordinance. It could go from that committee back to this body, then to ops, but we wanted to get a sense from the community relations committee first on their thoughts on this ordinance because of the impact of this type of an ordinance and the effect.
Well, glad you spoke up, Ben, because my question, and maybe you're the one who can answer it. Where did these ordinances come from? Who proposed them, and how did they get? Who referred them to? Are they the? Because we have some on the books that honestly deal with 9.4, 9.5, and 9.6 already. So where did the documents that we have in this packet even come from?
They're from the admin. We reviewed the ordinances, and there actually aren't ordinances right now that have, there aren't currently no ordinances on the books that have the names of the existing tenants, the existing landlords, and that require the inspections of the rental units when there's a changeover in occupancy.
Well, I would think that's enforcement.
And that's what this is. These are enforcement ordinances.
Yeah, that's but the what ordinance these, is on the books, and then
we have a just,
That's what these ordinances are designed to protect general public health, safety, and welfare. And so, for example, 9.5 is to ensure that we have in the city operational smoke detectors in our rental units.
I think that's a rule already.
Well, it's a statute. It's a statute. But we're entitled under 7-148 of our municipal powers to have ordinances that require landlords to actually have more stringent rules. And we felt in order to protect tenants in the city to have smoke detectors that are actually operational. And in order to know that they're operational, we thought how best then to have annual certifications signed by the tenants saying that the smoke detectors are operational. Otherwise, how are we supposed to know that smoke detectors work? You know, other than to have tenants signing off on them, there's no way to know. So so just to take you through, and this is why we want to have the dialogue at the subcommittee, and we thought having it at the community relations would be the best place to start because of the effect on the community, is to say, you know, we're looking to protect people who rent in our community. And under 7-148, we have the authority to put more obligations on people who come into our community and rent to third parties in our community, but may not live in our community. And we're trying to put more stringent rules in our community to raise our standards in our community. And we want it. So number one, 9.4, we want to be able to have a list of our landlords' names and our tenants' names. So that if we need to communicate with landlords and tenants, we have the ability to do that. Number two is smoke detectors so that we can protect general health, safety, and welfare. And number three, 9.6, is when there's a changeover in occupancy, there's a statute that allows us to issue new certificates of occupancy before a new tenant moves into a rental unit.
We already we have that ordinance already, Ben. We have a reoccupancy ordinance on the books, 99.9% positive. So maybe it's something to look at, and if something needed to be changed in that, but because I believe that's exactly what it says.
Okay. Well, that was the function of these three ordinances. Because what we're finding is that there's a breakdown in the landlord tenant in the city in the enforcement of landlord tenancy, that's where a problem that we need to address in the community. And so we're referring it to community relations for that purpose. It can come back to the full board, and if it needs to go to ops, it can go to ops after the fact, but we wanted to start with community relations.
And I think in the past, well, first of all, I thought we as the board are the ones who refer it to subcommittee, but in the past, we've had a couple ordinances at the same time in front of community relations and operations and procedures. And I'm pretty sure one has to do with the fire alarm, false alarm ordinance, you know, when fire marshal, you know, kept going out, that the fire department had to keep going out for false alarms. So, you know, that this might be the way to work it too, back and forth between those two subcommittees. Oh, that's just a thought.
No, there's an ordinance for all three family and more that have to get inspected before they're re-rented in there. Any three family or more apartments.
I think that's why we want to send it to subcommittee so we can move the meetings forward a little bit so we can vet it out down there. But it's up to you. Let's talk about it here. Any more discussion?
Barb, just what you just said about them going to, in the past, there's been ones that have gone to both community relations and ops and procedures at the same time?
It actually, and I'm trying to remember, I was on ops and procedures for that one. I'm pretty sure it was it was years ago. It was under Mayor Steferi, I believe. Yeah, I think we had it at the same time because we were looking at different, the ops and procedures was looking at, you know, the language of the construction of it, and you know, the community relations side was getting input as to, you know, I think it was that one. It might have been another one. I mean, it doesn't have to be simultaneous, but it definitely went back and forth between the subcommittee. I think it went from operation procedures to community relations once, then it came to the full, but whatever.
Mr. Mayor,
Is there a motion?
Was there a motion on the floor? Did we have a motion yet, Mr. Mayor? Where are we on this?
No, there was no motion, Gino.
Okay. All right.
You want to make a motion, Gino?
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion. I'll make a motion to refer the proposed code for the landlord and tenant ordinances to the community relations and blight committee. At least we'll do that to start there.
You have a second?
I'll second that, Brian Polo.
Thanks, Brian. More discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Same. So carried. 9.5, proposed ordinance regarding smoke detectors. Move to refer proposed smoke detector ordinance to Community Relations and Blight Committee. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Mayor. refer the proposed smoke detectors ordinances to the Community Relations and Blight Committee.
I have a second.
Second, Charlie Sampson.
All right, discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carried. Proposed reoccupancy ordinance. Move to refer the proposed reoccupancy ordinance to the Community Relations Blight Committee. Have a motion?
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
Second, Ron.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Proposed revision of the blight ordinance. Move to refer the proposed revision of the blight ordinance to the Community Relations and Blight Committee. Can I have a motion?
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
Second, Ron.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? All in favor? Okay, good. Thank you. 9.8, time limit, 2.5 hours. Love it. Who wants to make a motion on this?
I'll move to limit the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen meeting to 2.5 hours.
Do I have a second?
Second, Barbara.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Gino, go ahead, man.
Good. No, go ahead, Charlie. Well, I just have a couple of questions. So just for instance, so if we have a 2.5 hour meeting and we come up on the 2.5 hours and either A, we're not through the agenda, B, you can name anything, what happens then? Or is there some type of procedure that we have to follow? Or I just never been part of something like that. So I'm just asking for my own personal knowledge.
We'd make a motion. I would think we'd make a motion to continue the meeting, adjourn the meeting to a later time and pick it up at, you know,
we'd follow Robert's rules when it comes to that. We don't have anything that specifically says that, right? Or.
And I apologize. I missed the beginning of the meeting and I'm following the agenda. Did I miss something?
They added this tonight.
It was added.
It was added for a time limit, 2.5 hours max. So I'm figuring if we just get through public portion, which was going to be my question too. How do you not go through the whole meeting?
So you put it's a curfew rule?
That's what it sounds like it.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Gina or Charlie, you were next.
Yeah, I just have a couple comments before we move this thing forward. Number one, we all know and we all hear it, and I hear it from my constituents that I serve. The wheels of government move slow. And I do have a concern that at 2.5 hours, if we have new business before us, that we don't get to it and we keep pushing things down the road. To me, that's a problem. We all get up early in the morning. I'm up at 4:45 every morning myself. So the midnight meetings, just as bad for me. But we all volunteered to do a job. We are the controlling board for this city. And now we want to just say, hey, at 2.5 hours, whatever's left on the table, we're just going to put it off. Now, does that mean that the mayor calls a special meeting the next night? And do we get the attendance like we haven't? I went through the last 23 meetings, and they all, 23, averaged 1.93 hours. That's 1 hour and 53 minutes per meeting. There was five of them that we ended up having to stay a little bit late, and one was a little egregious even for me at 12:30 in the morning, but it's business. We must do the city's business. That's why we were elected. So to stop at 2.5 hours, I have a problem with that, and I just wanted to let you know.
Any more discussion?
Can I make a friendly amendment? Brian Capullo here.
Yes. Brian, can I just say something quickly, Brian?
Sure.
You know, Charlie, I agree with you that we, you know, have to get the city's business done. I think that it's unacceptable that we are receiving our full packets at 3:30 the day before our meetings. You know, we were told by the chief of staff that we were going to be getting all our information that we need to do the city's business in advance, so we are prepared for these meetings, so they are not belabored. And as of yet, we have not received our packets the week before, as we have been told. I think that will help move these meetings along. There is a lot of unnecessary commentary that has happened in the last few meetings that have belabored the meetings. Yes, we need to get the city's business done. We need to, you know, have respect for our constituents, and the city and the staff of the city need to have respect for us and get us what we need to do our business for the city.
Well, I would agree with you, Sarah. I would agree with you, Sarah, that we should be getting everything in our packets, and we should be getting it in a timely fashion so that we can go over it. I mean, look at all the minutes of the meetings we had to read. That was quite a few. And, you know, they all came in the day before. And I had time to read it because I'm on vacation today. But there's others that actually have to work too. So I'm not going to disagree with you with that. But in punishing the people in the end of this, by saying, hey, at 2.5 hours, if your item's on the agenda next, you may have to wait up to 4 more weeks for us to take any action on it, I don't think is going to rectify that issue that you just brought up. I think it's just going to belabor the point that we are the controlling board. We came here to do a job. And like I said, our meetings average 1 hour, 53 minutes, the last 23 meetings. So I'm not happy with pushing things off. I don't like to do that.
And I'm hoping not to push anything off. I'm hoping to get what needs to be done in 2.5 hours.
Well, I mean, obviously we have an average of almost 2 hours. So a lot of times it is 2 hours. So, I mean, what are we talking, a handful of times? I mean, I don't know. I've only, you know, it's only been a few meetings for me, but a handful of times that it goes over the 2.5 hours. Would that be an estimate?
A pressing issue on the agenda as we approach the 2.5 hours, that we would move that up on the agenda to make sure that if there's something that's time sensitive, it's not delayed another 4 weeks.
Yeah, but it might be time sensitive for you, but it might not be time sensitive for the person we just pushed down to the bottom who wanted their item heard tonight. Makes no sense.
Hey, we keep talking about it for another hour and a half. We'll test it tonight.
Have you heard
of any of this? Other towns put a time limit on meetings?
Short answer is, well, yes, some, you know, there are, they call them curfews, but they don't have 2.5 hours. You know, I believe the town of Fairfield has a curfew of midnight. They have curfews to say, you know, because, you know, most people recognize that good decisions aren't made at 3 in the morning, you know? Some zoning commissions will say, you know, at, you know, a certain hour, 11:30, they stop doing business, you know, so they don't say 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours is a short meeting for municipal government, quite frankly. I represent, you know, 10 municipalities. If I get home after 2.5 hour meeting, that's a good meeting, quite frankly. You know, my concern would be, and I know everyone comes here in good faith, but I know hostilities can run short, and it's very easy for someone like myself to just talk. And at the beginning of a meeting, if I know someone wants to get to agenda item number 6, I can just talk at the beginning of a meeting and eat up 30 minutes very quickly, so we never get to agenda item number 6. And part of the problem is, you gotta, everyone needs to move forward. And you need to, I think the attitudes expressed by Sarah and Charlie, I think were the right attitudes. You know, you got to get to the people's business. You got to get to the work. And, you know, you need to just move forward. You are entitled to get your agendas at a reasonable window of time, you know, and I, you know, I've been discussing with setting, trying to set timelines. So to get things early, because quite frankly, it reduces stress, not only for you, but for all of us, so that we can be prepared. Because quite frankly, no one likes showing up to these meetings last minute, because it reduces everyone's stress. You know, I like to show up having the answers for you just as much as you like to show up having read your packages. I think moving forward, I think if we can get you what you need earlier, and you know, and we can start working cooperatively and collaboratively, you know, we have to, you know, just put a little trust and a little good faith, you know, in each other, and, you know, and leave it at that. You know, there's no magic here. You're all here to do, you know, not do the job of a Democrat or a Republican, but you're here to do the job of a Derby resident, right? That's what you're here for. And, you know, and whether it's supposed to go to ops, whether it's supposed to go to community relations, you're all going to make the decision at the end of the day. That's the point. It's all going to come back to this body, and you're all going to get your vote. And we're sending it this line of ordinances is going to this subcommittee, because it deals with community, it deals with blight, it deals with things that relate to your community, and that's what that's why it's going to this. You know, we're using our judgment the way we've used our judgment in the past, and that's what we're going to do going forward. And you're going to question our judgment. And that's what you should continue to do. And we're going to disagree, and we're going to have those moments of disagreement, and we're going to argue. And let's move forward when we disagree, not in anger, but in disagreement. And that's what we have to learn from this moment, is that we're allowed to disagree, but we're supposed to be able to shake hands and move forward. And that's what we're not doing well on this board.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks.
I think that what I have in my in my notes is, and I don't know if you need him, I have Dennis on deck. If you need him for the next item, I just have to send him a text.
Thank you. Any more discussion on this 2.5 hour time limit?
Yeah, I was, Mr. Mayor, Brian Capullo here. I was going to make a friendly amendment to this, saying that we potentially entertain this idea. However, due to a majority vote, we can extend the meeting.
Any more discussion? That's exactly what Vin was saying. Somebody wants to stop the meeting. There you go.
So was there a motion, or was it seconded? Where are we at? I'm sorry.
Yes, there was a motion and a second.
There was.
And again, okay. You know, after 2.5 hours, if people have the hunger or the, I know my brain capacity goes in a downward trajectory after a certain amount of meeting. I want to be sharp, you know, I want to make sure that I am sharp when I am in a meeting, and, you know, too much after 2.5 hours, it's not there, but, you know, I'm fine with Brian's amendment if that
works. So if there's something coming up that's like really pressing, that's gonna be great for the city and certain people don't like it, it's 2.5 hours and the majority votes against it and they got to come back in 4 weeks, you're going to be happy with that? And that these people sit here for 2.5 hours? That's crazy. But
this is crazy to me. we got the motion. We got it seconded. So we'll take a vote, I guess. Right.
Any more discussion? So Brian's amendment was to, if it's pushed in the 2.5 hour mark, you guys could vote to
continue if we need to.
Okay. All right. So whoever seconded it, is that all right?
I seconded that.
Okay. So Brian,
could you read the say the motion in full there, Mr. Mayor, or have them read it back? I just want to take some notes on this just so I got it right.
So it's a 2.5 hour time limit. We'll start the clock when we call to order. And then once we get close to that, hopefully we're not stuck on public opinion, that we get through this whole thing. Otherwise, I don't even know what the motion is going to be. So it's a 2.5 hour time limit.
Sarah, do you want to say the motion, please?
It's going to be moved to limit the full board of aldermen, alderwomen meeting to 2.5 hours. If the meeting is going to go past 2.5 hours, the majority of the board needs to be in agreement. Does that work, Vin?
If the majority of the board would be in an agreement to extend it beyond 2.5 hours, is what yours. That's fine.
So upon the 2.5 hour time limit, a vote will be taken to extend the meeting by majority rules?
Yes. So in order to extend beyond 2.5 hours, it would take a majority vote.
Okay. Got it.
Back in the day, all our meetings lasted until 11:30.
Back in the good old days.
Got it easy today. Yeah.
Like that's what kept you spry, Ron.
That's right. Yep. I'm raring to go.
This meeting is going to go that long.
Allergies. Well, it's 1 hour and 13 minutes. We're getting there. It was 1.5 hours when I said that before.
I'm watching the sunset.
All right. So we got.
I'm okay with the amendment.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Barbara.
Aye.
Opposed?
No, Charlie.
And Gino DiGiovanni, no.
All right, let's go roll call. So, hang on, for a 2 hour time limit.
You don't want me to call the roll, Mayor?
I'll do it. Give me something.
2.5.
Barbara DiGennaro. Yes. Nato.
Yes.
Sarah Wodonski.
Yes.
Brian Capolo.
Yes.
Gino DiGiovanni.
No.
Ron Sill?
Yes.
Rob Hyder?
No.
Charles Sampson?
No.
Kevin Turkey?
Yes.
2, 3, no. 1, 2, 3, 6, yes. 7, yes. 6, yes. Sorry. All right. Passes. 6-3. All right.
I think we get nothing done now.
Yep, we only got an hour. Oh no, that starts with the next one. Number 10, old business. 10.1, RWA, City of Derby water tank transaction, WPCA capital lien fee. We get a motion to move to authorize a transfer amount of $3,000 from account 8200-390-0003-0000 City WPCA bills to Mel Zabel and Schlesenberger to be held in the trust pending the resolution between the City Board of Education, WPCA, capital lien fee encumbered 7375 Chatfield Street, and recommend to the Board of Apportionment and Taxation to approve the transfer. A motion?
So move, Charlie Sampson.
Second?
Second, Barbara.
Any discussion?
No, I know that I know that Mr. that Dennis isn't here, but I'm still, and I see the list that we got here of city buildings that the WPCA put a lien on it. To me, it's still something that needs to be discussed.
Sounded like in his email that he was looking into it, Charlie.
Yeah.
That email that Dennis sent yesterday.
Yeah. I read it. I'm just astounded by looking at this list.
So was I. That's why I said it last week.
Well, hopefully when we sell it, if we sell it, we'll be taken care of. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so carried. Number 11, a motion to go into executive session. Two Factory Street property. Ron, do you have a second?
Second.
What we included?
Mr. DeCenzo, Ben Marino.
And us.
Who seconded it?
Charlie Sampson.
I am Charlie. 1, 2. All right. So Charlie, or Mr. DeCenzo, Mr. Ben Marino. And the alderman. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right, opposed? So carried. All right, so at 8:21, we're going into executive session.
All right, I'm going to pause the recording, and for the I'll put the folks that are not in the executive session into the waiting room, and when the executive session is over, is there anticipated action?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. So then we'll bring everybody back in and it'll be just adjournment, but we'll pause the recording now. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mark. I have a motion to go back into the regular session.
Don't move, Charlie Sampson.
Second, Sarah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
The record should reflect that it is 8:51 p.m.
Ooh, we're under the timeline. That's good. So 12-1, no action. 13.
Motion to adjourn at 8:51.
No second.
Thanks, Ronnie.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Have a good night. Have fun.
Good night.